Good morning on this beautiful Easter Sunday morning. It's so really lovely to see you all here today. Thank you for coming to join us. Just two notices today. The Easter offering envelope is on your chair and it's being prepared by the Methodist Women in Britain, and proceeds will go to World Vision. So please give generously. The other notice is about the service next week, which is held in Macclesfield. It will be a circuit service at Macclesfield Methodist Church starting at 10:30. And it would be lovely if lots of us from Poynton can turn up for that. Over to Mandy.
Yesterday afternoon, Chris, Eliza and I went to Hazel Grove Methodist Church to listen to the Reverend David Hardman, the Methodist liaison officer in Jerusalem. I didn't know we had one. When the war started in October, he was brought home pretty sharpish. But how much he had to teach us about what life is like in Gaza and in the West Bank. I want to invite him to come here because he was truly inspirational. And if we manage it, he only lives in Hazel Grove at the moment. He was born in Poynton. He was baptised in Poynton. So he'd be really happy to come. I hope you would support that. His opening words were from a Christian Palestinian. As a Palestinian, I have no hope. As a Palestinian, I have no hope. But in Christ, I live in hope. In Christ, I live in hope. He pointed out that the people of Gaza have been living under occupation for many, many years. And they've been living in fear for all those years. And of course, it's magnified now. He compared this to the situation of the disciples on that Friday night. They were living under occupation from the Romans. They must have been terrified by the events of Good Friday. They knew not how the story would end. We do, but they didn't. Just imagine for a moment how they felt. So we're going to start our service by remembering the events, those things that happened at the end of Good Friday.
Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea. And he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
It was still dark the first time she came. She hadn't brought her spices for the body yet. She hadn't come with the other women yet. She wanted to come alone, just to sit a while. She hadn't slept a wink. Mary of Magdala. She didn't notice anything at first. She came stumbling her way in the dark, exhausted and full of tears. She couldn't believe that he was gone. She had lived for weeks with the fear of what they might do to him. She was numb from the horror of it all. Mary. She crawled up to the entrance eventually, her hands outstretched, feeling for the stone, her eyes blinking, trying to focus. She gasped, her heart suddenly thumping. She staggered up and saw the gaping black hole, the opening that made no sense. She was frozen to the spot. Mary. She fled. She ran blindly, crying out, and the garden was silent again as daylight crept over the rocks.
Then two men came. They hadn't believed her, but they saw it just as she said, and more. The stone, out of place. The grave, opened. One of them, called John, looked in, his stupefied gaze locked on the white strips of linen that had wrapped the body. He motioned to the other, Peter, who bent down and walked right inside, grasping the cloths in his hands, pulling at them, rifling through them, as though the body might reappear if he searched hard enough. Then they backed away, wide-eyed, and left.
She was alone again, Mary. And then in her grief, her bewilderment, she heard a gentle voice.
Woman, why are you crying?
She wasn't alarmed, but replied as if to any passerby, "They have taken my beloved Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." She turned away from the tomb and saw a man standing there. She thought it was the gardener. She had no idea it was him. He asked, just like any stranger would.
Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?
Sir, her voice carried a faint hope. If you know where he is, please tell me so I can go to him. He said only one word.
Mary?
Rabboni! They fell into an embrace and held each other, a tender reunion, but short-lived as he gently stood back. Don't hold on to me, Mary, but go tell your brothers that I am returning to the Father, to your God and mine. She did as he asked. She told her story that morning. It was hard to believe. But soon they had their own story to tell. 10 disciples. Then Thomas. 2 on their way to Emmaus. Peter by Lake Galilee, James, Jesus' skeptical brother, even Paul, Saul, his enemy. Each, in their own way, would tell of how they knew Jesus was risen indeed from the dead, for they had seen him, talked with him, been forgiven by him, that their lives had been changed forever. How many times they would tell it. and she would listen and smile. Mary of Magdala. So we sing Mary's song. Please remain standing at the end. See what a morning, gloriously bright.
Yes, you did.
Remember Peter's three denials and the beautiful way that Jesus forgave him by asking him three times, "Do you love me?" So we're going to do the Easter response three times. I'm going to ask this side first, then this side, and then all together, and we'll raise the roof. Okay? Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. There's only one thing we can sing after that. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Oh,
Many years ago, as a lay worker in Hazel Grove, part of my job was to visit local schools and take assembly. I used to love to do this. One day, I was rather shocked when the head teacher greeted me at the door. And he explained that yesterday, he said, I had an interview for a new job. You'll never guess what I was asked. How do you explain the self-substitution theory for the redemption of sins to children at 8:45 in the morning? To gain time, I asked him, well, how did you answer it? He laughed and said, I'm about to get my own back. I said I couldn't possibly answer it. I would invite someone who I trusted from the church to come and answer. So what would you say? He said. Searching for words, I said something like, I think you mean the way that Jesus takes our place, that he suffers for our sins and that we go free. To children? I tell a story. The story of the people of Eam. I'm sure you all know that story of the people in a village not so far away in Derbyshire who suffered with the plague and who closed their village off, even though they knew that many of them would die, to save others outside. He nodded. Not a bad answer, he said. Thank you, I replied. But he made me think, remembering this, how would I explain the story of Easter to the children? Not just the fact that Christ rose from the dead, but the difference he makes in lives today. I'm a teacher. I'd tell a story. My granny had a teapot. It looked something like this. It was no ordinary teapot. In fact, it was far too precious to be used at all except on Christmas Day and Easter Sunday, when all the family gathered at Granny's for dinner. For the rest of the year, it sat in splendid isolation in Granny's display cabinet. A thing of beauty is a joy forever, I remember Granny saying, as I pressed my nose up against the glass to see the pattern on it. It's very valuable, you know, said Granny. Maybe we should take it to the Antiques Roadshow one day and get it valued. Then one Easter Sunday, something dreadful happened. We had our dinner, and Granny said, now all we need is a nice cup of tea. I think it was probably the last sort of drink that some of the adults really wanted, and that it was just an excuse to get the precious teapot out. My uncle went to get it, and then the accident happened. There was an awful crash and gasps of horror. Granny had red quarry tiles on her kitchen floor, and there lay the teapot in pieces, with the soggy tea bags in amongst it. What a mess. If only we could turn the clock back. Granny did her best not to cry, but I could tell from her face that she was heartbroken. I was quickly ushered out of the house. but I saw Granny trying to pick up all the pieces. We live quite a way away, so I didn't see Granny again for months. But I often wondered, what did you do with all those pieces, Granny? So when I finally got back to her house, I ran to the display cabinet. No teapot. Just a dark circle where it had once sat. And then I turned around, and there on the window ledge I saw it. Well, what was left of it? Granny hadn't managed to find all the pieces. The teapot was full of small jagged holes. The spout was a most peculiar shape. And the lid, completely missing. But my granny had green fingers. She'd filled a teapot with moist compost. And through all these holes and through the lid, plants had grown. It looked something like that. We didn't have cameras in those days. I wish we had a photograph of it. An orange busy lizzie cascaded from the place where the lid should have been. It was so beautiful. It took my breath away. "It's not the same, it never will be," said Granny, "but a thing of beauty is a joy forever." But in a different sort of way. I thought, it's not just a different way, it's a better way. For now it's on full view for everyone to enjoy. There are so many broken people on that first Easter Sunday and beyond. Think of Judas, broken by his betrayal. By the time the Sunday comes, he's already committed suicide. If only he'd waited just one more day, do you think Jesus would have forgiven him? I do. I'm sure he would. Then there was Mary, broken by grief, beside herself with sorrow and disbelief at what had happened. How could the people from the temple, of all places, treat Jesus like this, whose only sin was to love and to care? Then think of all the disciples. They ran away as soon as Jesus was arrested, broken by fear. We don't want to get arrested and treated in the same way. Let's get out of here. But it got worse for Peter. He at least had followed Jesus to the house of Caiaphas, where the first trial of Jesus took place. And where he denied knowing Jesus three times, just as Jesus had predicted. He heard the cockerel and he knew. So broken, our strong, big, mouthy fisherman wept. Broken by shame. Then there's Thomas, who's broken by his doubts. He can't believe what the others are telling him, that Christ is risen. Broken. But who and what else is broken? Jesus, of course. But I believe that Jesus bore all the consequences of human sin on that cross. The power of sin and death are broken once and for all. and the resurrection is the proof. When Mary meets the risen Christ, her grief is turned to pure joy. Peter is forgiven 3 times, thus negating his 3 denials. Freed now from shame to become the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Thomas no longer doubts, but proclaims, "My Lord and my God." Broken people restored. But like the teapot, not just restored, but changed into something better for all to see. Picture them in the streets of Jerusalem at Pentecost. If we're honest, are we not often broken by grief, shame, fear, doubt? We too so often fail Jesus by what we've done or failed to do. We can't meet the risen Christ in person as they did, but we can know his presence here with us and know we are forgiven, renewed, and changed forever. Last Sunday, we brought our brokenness to the Christmas tree. And as we put our tears on it. And today, symbolically, we'll place a butterfly over those tears, a symbol of the resurrection. But before we do that, let's pray. Risen Lord, when you created people, you made our minds to think your thoughts, our mouths to speak your words, our hands to do the things you wanted them to do, and our feet to go where you wanted them to go. But we are broken people, whose thoughts are often not your thoughts, whose mouths say things that hurt and upset, whose hands destroy and harm, whose feet take us away from you. Father, forgive us for the sake of your Son and give us a clean start. We bring to you those situations, those people we wept for last Sunday. May they too know the power of knowing you. In the silence, make your own confession. Give him your brokenness and that of others. And when you are ready, come in faith with your butterfly. As we're doing this, let's sing again, "In Christ alone, my hope is found. At the Last Supper, Jesus gave us such a beautiful way to remember him, to come close to him, to know we are accepted and can be changed. Picture Jesus in the upper room, sharing a Passover meal. And during the meal, he took bread, saying,
"Take this and eat it. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then later in the meal, he took a cup of wine. In this cup is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me. And this invitation is now for all of us, now. So come, all who hunger and thirst for a better life, a deeper faith, a better world. Here is the bread of life. feed on it with gratitude. And here is the cup of salvation. Drink from it and believe.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Before we receive the bread and the wine, we sing again, Christ is alive. Let Christians sing. Invite you to come as the stewards direct you to receive bread and wine. Come, for all is ready. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The 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 body of Christ. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. 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 The body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The 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 body of Christ broken for you. Body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Put that on the table, please. No, sorry. No, you come with me. The body of Christ broken for you. 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 body of Christ broken for you.
Let us pray. Christ Jesus, you are risen. Your life and light are present in the world today. Even when times feel black, you give us love and hope. You ignite our hearts of stone with compassion and care. You transfigure our world with the spirit of life. We give thanks for all those who have proclaimed the resurrection through their words, deeds, through their music, through their art. May your creative spirit renew our lives with your beauty and grace. Awaken this church, that it may boldly proclaim the new creation we celebrate on this resurrection day. Give us a new vision of what this church can be. Guide our thoughts through all our revival plans. We pray for Roz, that you will give her all the strength that she needs, that you will find for her the pastoral job she so longs for. And we pray for Graham, the circuit stewards, the chairman of the district, that you will give them your wisdom and that the right person will arrive here. Deepen our reverence for the earth and all its creatures. Open our eyes to marvel at your works and to rejoice in them each new day. Please guide our thoughts as we seek to gain a gold eco award. We pray for all those who work for a fair and proper use of the world's resources. We ask you to bless our own plans to support Christian Aid Week this year. And as we look out at the world as it is today, we pray for those who strive for justice and peace among the nations. Praying especially for Israel and Gaza, for the Ukraine and Russia, that peace will come, but peace with justice, so that more peace can flourish. Raise up political and civic leaders in this country who will bring forth a springtime of care for the poor and those most vulnerable among us. In silence, we pray again for those dear to us, especially any who don't know your love. Gracious God, we ask these prayers through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Saviour. Amen. I think there's only one hymn that we could ever end with on Easter Day. When we've sung it, please will you remain standing and John will give us the blessing. So we sing, Thine be the glory.
Church with gladness, hymns of triumph sing. For her Lord now liveth, death hath lost his sting. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory Thou, O death, hast won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of life. Life is naught without thee, aid
in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou, O death, hast won.
Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord, for the risen Christ goes with you all along the way. And now we simply join in saying the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.